Well, we're in Arrows Out, and we are in number 7 ingredients. So remember, it's not just the seed that allows you to thrive. It's the soil contents that allows the grass to grow. So in other words, you by yourself will not become who God has called you to be all alone. We need each other. We are better together. We need people around us to help us and different ingredients to help us become all that God's called us to be. So we had this little metaphor. We had just seed that is now grass. Now, I apologize. We did forget to water it and leave it outside last week. So we're praying for a comeback. Anybody else want to see a comeback? So we're going to water this bad boy. And it's going to be amazing. This grass is going to be, it's going to be Jesus. Let's just extend your hands. Let's kidding. So we're believing for a comeback for our grass. But today we're talking about something that is something that a lot of believers, I think we kind of recognize this is important, but we don't realize that this is such a key ingredient to you thriving. And here's what it is. The 7th ingredient is something called arrows out. Arrows out. We live in a culture that says you always start with yourself. Look inward. But actually, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. In other words, part of you thriving, part of you being healthy is that as a believer, we partner with Jesus and we're always looking out. We always want to see things differently than the way the world sees them. Because oftentimes when we look out, we don't always see the grass. We don't see the harvest. We actually see barren fields. I want to give you an example. When Mayel and I were in the Tri-Cities, now you may not know where Tri-Cities is. It's in Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington is a desert climate. And most people that I know that live in Portland, we don't really like deserty places. We like the green. Who loves the green? Anybody else here just love the green? I love it. I love Portland. And some of you are like, really? Yes, we love Portland. It is the place to be. We feel like God is here. There's so many beautiful things. But anyways, while we were living in that area, we met with, there's a family that was a part of the church, and they were farmers. And they had been farmers for generations. Now, this person was a very successful farmer. In fact, they had a lifestyle, houses, cars that most people would envy. And I remember talking to him one time, and they owned tons and tons of Pasco. And I remember talking with him, and I said, man, how did you get to where you are? And he said, most people have no idea the struggle it took for us to get to where we are. And I said, well, tell me about that. He said, well, years and years and years ago, like over 60 years ago, our family moved to Pasco and we bought land that nobody else wanted because it was nothing but dirt and sand and it was super cheap and affordable. And the reason was nobody wanted to live there. It was just empty, dry, and desolate. But our family bought it. And when we moved here, I moved my wife, listen to this, in a trailer with 6 boys on land. And they had no, they literally, that's how they started. And now he owns most of the land, has these beautiful houses with the swimming pool and all these things. And here's what he said. When everybody else saw barren and nothingness, we saw harvest. And I think that's what we have to have when we look at Portland. Everybody else is leaving. Everybody else thinks it's barren. Everybody else thinks Portland is lost and has no hope. But we are here on mission with Jesus, with arrows out. And we believe that God is not done with Portland yet. Can I get an amen in the house somewhere? But in order to see that, you have to have faith. You see, faith opens your eyes to see a harvest while others see a barren field. And I think for all of us, there are moments and times in our life when it's not just looking at the city of Portland, but maybe it's when you look in the mirror. Maybe it's when you look at your job. Maybe when you look at your friends, your family, your situation, your health, and you look at it and you see a barren wasteland. But I believe that we serve a big God that says, I see a harvest that's on its way. Amen. Do you have faith to believe and trust that God will get you to where he has promised he will get you? That God has hope for your family, that he has hope for your friends. You see, today I want to jump into a passage of scripture that will help us all see that we serve a God that doesn't look at your resume. He knows exactly where you're supposed to be because he made you, he sees you, and he has a calling upon your life, and he sees the broken, the lost, and the hurting, not as the down and out, but the ones who will change the world. That's who our God is. He is a God of hope. That's why at Portland Christian, one of our values is we always want to present hope because that's the God that we serve. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke. It'll come up on the screen in just a moment. But we're reading the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 19, verse 1. And this might be a familiar passage to many of you, but for some who maybe you weren't raised in church, this is a great story about a little man, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, or some pronounce it Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. I want to stop right there. I want to highlight two really important things. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down somewhere in there. Chief tax collector meant they hated him. All of the crowd would have hated him, especially the Jews, and here's why. He was a sellout. We know he was Jewish, and we know that he left his family and his friends, and he worked for the Romans because Rome was in charge, and they were the tax collectors. And I don't know about you, but whenever a tax collector shows up to my house, that usually ain't good. Thank the Lord that hasn't happened. But there's two things we know that's going to happen. Death and? There you go. So taxes, they're not going to be friends with him. Next, not only was he a sellout, not only was someone we didn't like, but he was wealthy. In other words, they didn't like him already, but then he prospered on top of it. It's one thing for someone to be someone you don't like, but when they're doing well, it makes it even worse, if we're being honest. So this man is somebody nobody likes. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. I want to stop here as well. This is another important point. Jesus is considered a rabbi at this point because a rabbi is someone who taught his disciples about the way of following God. A rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, would never be caught eating with a sinner. Never be caught sitting and eating with someone that wasn't in their religion and following their rules. Why? Because to be eating and sitting with someone who was a sinner meant that you were associated with them, that you were guilty by association. You were actually considered to be one of them. And so because they wanted to be clean, they would never associate with unclean. So they would wear these fancy robes, they would that would jingle little bells in the bottom, and they would walk, and they would always keep people at a distance because they did not want to be contaminated by their sin. Here's why this is so good. Jesus is so much greater than your sin that he can associate with sinners because his love, his grace is always more powerful, always greater than the greatest sin you could ever commit. That's how good our God is. That's how great our Jesus is. He looks at your life and he says, I'll sit with you, I'll eat with you. But you're like, man, you knew what I have done. And he's saying, if only you knew how great I am. I am bigger than your mistakes. I'm bigger than your failures. I see you exactly where you are, and there's hope coming to you. And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus just like he looks at every single one of us, and he says, your problems are not too big for me. So he goes to his house, shocked. All the people, verse 7, saw this and began to mutter. That's a funny word, mutter. They didn't go mutting, but they muttered. They talked, said bad things. He was gone to be the guest of, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, this is so important. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. That's how we know his lineage, but we also see this. This is so important. When people encounter the love of God, their arrows move from inward to out. He went from taking money to giving money. He went from being selfish to being a giver. And I want to remind you, the DNA of being a follower of Jesus as you move the arrows from being all about me to about him and to giving your life away. Arrows out is the secret ingredient that most believers need to jump back on and say, I want to live my life arrows out because he's been so good to me. He has transformed my life. And then here's the key verse, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He said in another passage, he said, I did not come for the healthy because the healthy don't need a doctor. I came for the sick. And in this room right here, as if you're a believer and you love Jesus, you have a mission. You are called to live arrows out. And just like Jesus, who was on his way through, on his way out of town, on his way out of Jericho. Actually, Jesus says, I'm coming to Zacchaeus. It says that he stopped right at the spot, right there where Zacchaeus was. In other words, if you feel alone, if you feel unseen, you feel like God doesn't know where you're at, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how lonely you feel, how hopeless you may seem. Jesus knows where you are. He knows your name, he sees you, and he's calling you and me to follow him. And in following him, and I want to remind you, maybe you're here and you haven't heard this before, but our mission here at Portland Christian Center is to make disciples. And where did I get that from? Where did we get that from? Matthew 28:19, it says this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Portland Christian Center, if that's Jesus' mission, it's my mission. If that's Jesus' mission, this is our big idea this morning, it's my mission. Some of us might think after today, your mission is to go to Costco as fast as you can and get a hot dog and some ice cream and go home and take a nap. But remember, Jesus was going through. Now, some people are like, well, that's how you know. I may have done that a time or two in my life, just saying. Costco is the only place where you can spend $300 on groceries and feel like you got a good deal because you got a hot dog for $1.50. But here's the thing, Jesus was going through Jericho. You're going through your jobs. You're going through restaurants. You're going through different places. But never forget, the destination is always people. People are the prize because they're his prize. I don't know about you, but there needs to be a stirring back in my mindset in my life that because I'm a follower of Jesus, his mission is the lost. His mission is people. So I don't just go places, I go through them to meet with people, to help people find Jesus. And how do we do this today? That's really the question I want to answer for all of us today. How can you and I practically do this today? The first thing you have to understand is the Great Commission. Jesus didn't just accidentally show up through Jericho. He went there on purpose. And he went to a fig tree on purpose and stopped there. He actively pursues. He actively goes. Part of the Great Commission is recognizing that Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. No matter how big, no matter how tall, every person is precious to Jesus, and if they are his prize, they should be our prize. So when we look at Portland, we need God to give us eyes of faith to see the harvest, not the barrenness. When we see people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, yelling at us, driving badly, when you go to, I'm going to bring up Costco one more time. Because for some reason, somebody asked me afterwards, I have been hit by grocery carts at Costco at least a dozen times. I don't know, they hit my ankles, my hips. I don't know, maybe I'm just lost. Maybe I'm hitting them. I don't know. But what I do know is every time I go through these places, I should be on mission. How do I do that? By understanding the Great Commission. My arrows must be out. But I think the problem is many people don't see themselves that way. There was an evangelist named Leighton Ford who had the privilege to speak at a huge, huge convention. It wasn't just a convention. It was a huge rally at a stadium. And in fact, the very next night, none other than Billy Graham was to speak at the same event. And as he's speaking, he didn't know this, but Billy Graham got there a day early, dressed up in incognito, hat on, glasses, different coat, and he went and sat in the crowd and listened to this evangelist preach. Well, as he's preaching, it comes to the end of the message, and people are supposed to be coming up for, remember this? Well, what's the famous song that they sang at the Billy Graham revivals? Just As I Am. So people are coming down, getting saved, just as I am, and Billy Graham is sitting in the back, and he sees a man who looks like he's wrestling with coming forward or not. So Billy Graham taps this guy on the shoulder, and he says, hey, excuse me, do you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I will go to the front with you, and we'll pray. And the man looked at him, looked up and down, and he said, actually, I'm waiting for the big guns tomorrow. Billy Graham speaking. Then I'll respond. As funny as that is, I think a lot of Christians don't share their faith because they're waiting for the big guns. They're waiting for the person that knows it all, that has the doctorate, the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, and the Holy Spirit is saying, I live in you. You have all you need to live arrows out. It's not having the right words to say perfectly, it's having the right spirit living in you that makes you attractive to people. It's loving people where they are. Because here's what I know. If I don't love them, I will not share the love of God with them. You see, the second way that you can share the gospel, the way that you can live arrows out, is compassion. Compassion is the key to living arrows out. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, he didn't think, oh, you poor little man, and then walk by. What did he do? He was filled with compassion. He said, come down. I love this verse in Matthew 9:36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he being Jesus had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. My prayer is for you and for me is that we would have different eyes, that when we see people in Portland, when we see the situation where there's homeless people, there's brokenness, there's pain, we don't look at them with contempt and say, you're ruining our city. Instead, we say, oh God, save them. Oh, Lord, give me a heart to pray for them. Oh, Lord, help me be a light to them. What can I do? Just, Lord, help me to, and just start praying for people. When Mael and I were at a conference this past February, it was down in California, and we were there, and it was a fabulous conference, and a pastor gets up there. His name's Mark Francie. I'd never heard of the guy before, and he stands up, and his first line was, anybody think California needs help? And everybody's like, yes, California needs help. It needs hope. It needs a lot. And so he's saying, well, a couple years ago, I was praying, and my heart was just broken because California seems like it's going down. So I just said, God, give me a burden. Give me a vision. He said he went to sleep one night, and the Lord gave him a vision that he was going to do a revival in California, and they were going to baptize thousands of people. So he's like, Lord, how's that going to happen? I have no idea. So he started praying, and the Lord gave him a vision that they were to baptize people at Pirate's Cove, which if you remember that movie, Jesus Revolution, where they had all those people getting baptized and there was a revolution that happened? Did anybody see that movie? If you haven't, I'd encourage you to watch it. So the Lord started stirring in him to start a baptism there again. So he prayed and he got some churches together, and about 150 churches, non-denomination, doesn't matter. All they needed to love Jesus. It's all about him. And they showed up and they baptized 4,600 people 2 years ago at that place. Isn't that amazing? 4,600 people. So we're at this conference and he says, I started a website. We're going to baptize California. It's called Baptize California. That's the website. And so they got 300 churches just a couple weeks ago to show up. And I want to show you a picture of what happened. They had 12,000 people get baptized. And so he's been interviewed by all these TV networks. And they said, well, what's next? And he says, we're going to baptize America. And I'm like, let's do it, Portland. Who's with me? Come on, we're going to baptize Portland. So a year from now, June 9th, that's the next Pentecost Sunday. How many would believe and pray with me that we're going to see people get baptized in Portland? We are going to see people get changed. We are going to see people transformed by the love of God. Faith is what gives you the ability to see a harvest when everybody else sees a barren field. And I'm praying that you and I will stop looking for the big guns and realize that the Holy Spirit is the biggest gun you'll ever need. And he'll live in you. So maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor Nate, I'm excited. That's awesome. June 9th's a long ways away. What can I do now? I'm so glad you asked. Because I want to give you just a few simple things that you can actually do right now, this week, to start living arrows out. Say arrows out. First one, and we did this last year, it was fantastic. Serve Portland. Who participated in Serve Portland last year? Just raise your hand if you did. A lot of us did. Serve Portland is so cool because what it is, it's activating our church to jump into ministries that we're already giving to. So you may not even know this, but we're giving to Salvation Army. We're giving to Dinner in a Movie, which is for homeless people. We feed them and then we show them a show and we present the gospel to them. In other words, there are local ministry outreaches happening all around our city. And on June 16th, that entire week, we're asking different ones of you to show up and serve. It could be an hour, it could be 2 hours. Last year, we had hundreds of hours served all throughout Portland because we're living arrows out. So if you wouldn't mind, grab your cell phone. I know you got them. At least most of you, scan the QR code right up there and it will take you to a website and you can look at all the different opportunities. And if you don't want to grab your phone, oh, you are doing it. Great job. All right. Online, you can scan it as well and take a next step and serve. Because here's what I believe. Portland should need the local church. I'm going to say that again. Portland should need us. One of the things I think about a lot is if Portland Christian Center wasn't here tomorrow, like somehow it just vanished, would the city of Portland miss us? Would they miss us? I think the more we serve, the more they'll need us. The more we love, the more they'll depend on us. I think we shouldn't depend on the government. I think they should depend on the church. Because we, through Jesus Christ, we are the one presenting hope. We're the ones loving. We're the ones that have the real answer, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Amen. The second one, now this is the one that, man, I love. I'm passionate about as well. Evangelism. Evangelism. Some of you here might be like, but Pastor Nate, that scares me. And here's all I'm going to ask you to do is just do this. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just give me an opportunity to be a light to somebody today. And now here's the thing. If you pray that, I've got to warn you, he's going to put something in your path. And I want you to be ready because you'd be like, man, I'm not sure what to say. I don't know. I had that happen to me just a little while ago. I was praying and I took Tate, just me and Tate went to the Metzger Park right by our house. And he had his lightsaber and he had a four-wheeler. And we went there, it's one of those little battery-powered ones, and we went all the way to the park and he grabbed his lightsaber and we were slaying General Grievous from Star Wars. We were having a great time. Next thing I know, a dad comes over with his son. And he's like, hey, you guys like Star Wars? I'm like, yeah, obviously. Can you not see the lightsaber? We start talking, and I look, and he has a hat that says worship. And I said, are you a Christian? And he was like, kinda. I'm like, what does kinda mean? And he was like, well, I used to go to church. I used to do all this, but I haven't followed God in a long time. And I said, man, let me pray for you. I'm like, I prayed to God. God brought some in my path, right? So I'm like praying for him, and he's like, where do you go to church? And I go, I'm like, oh, no. I go to Portland Christian Center and it's over here on Hillsdale Highway. And he's like, where's that? I have no idea. And I'm like, where's my car? I didn't have my card on me. I was so... Anyways, have you ever had that moment where you're just upset with yourself? So we print these out in the back. They're just simple little QR codes, little cards you can grab. There's a bunch of them. Grab them, and here's what I want to challenge you to do. Keep it on you. Just keep it on you and pray, Holy Spirit, if you give me an opportunity, I'll give somebody a card. That's all you have to do. Why? Because you and I are on a mission. Your mission is not just to survive life. Your mission is to thrive. In order to thrive, you have to live arrows out. Stop making life about you. It'll get smaller and smaller and more depressing. But here's what you find out. When you flip your life upside down, you live arrows out and you start asking questions. Instead of how can I get, we say, how can I add value? How can I bless? How can I give this away? And when you do, you will see God do more than you can ever ask, think, or imagine. And if you're looking for another way that I think you can be really evangelistic along with these little cards, this might sound weird, get a dog. How many, raise your hand if you have a dog. Who's got a dog? Really, that's it? Man, there's more people with dogs in the way. Let's try this again. Raise your hand if you have a dog. Some of you want to admit that you have dogs. Okay. Here's why. When we take our dogs on walks, I get stopped all the time. People are like, oh, it's the cutest dog I've ever seen. Ah! I'm like, thank you. And you know what they also do? They stop and they smell all the time. It's like a constant interruption. And here's what I know. If you're with Jesus and you're walking a dog, you can be arrows out really easily. And all it takes is to love somebody. Share the love of Jesus. Just be kind, be gracious, because you're on mission. The third way that you can take a step, and we already asked people to do this, but is support missions. Some of us here are like, man, that sounds scary, but I can give. I want to encourage you, giving is an amazing way to propel the gospel. Through royal family, supporting missionaries, it is just a wonderful way to do it. And lastly, hospitality. The Bible actually says that you're to practice hospitality in Hebrews. Did you know that? So you may be hearing, you'd be like, man, I'm not very good at being hospitable. Great! You get to practice. Some of the easiest ways to do that is to look out at who you're living by. If you live in an apartment complex, you might have 1,000 people that you can practice hospitality as. If you live in a house, you have a few neighbors. I believe that Portland Christian Center people should be the friendliest people in the neighborhood. Should be the most loving, oh, come on, some of you need to say amen to that. Should be the most loving people. Why? Because some of you come from a long ways away. There's people from Forest Grove, from Vancouver. We've had people coming from Gresham, from Tualatin, Wilsonville, all over the place, Tigard, and then we have people literally that can walk here. Do you realize that you come here to encounter the love of God so that when you go out, you can practice hospitality? Because God has put people in your path. And if you're a student in here, your high school is the greatest mission field that you will ever have. Why? Because never in your life will you be stuck with so many people all the time. All day long, you're with people all the time. But practice hospitality. And I want to encourage you, if you're thinking, Pastor Nate, that sounds a little scary, don't worry. Number three is exactly the power that will help you be on Jesus' mission. Number three, allow the Holy Spirit to give you courage. The greatest mistake that you could make right now is to walk out these doors and think, all right, Pastor Nate called me the big guns. I'm an evangelist. Here I go! And you start doing crazy things like driving by and like, hey, God loves you! All right, go, get out of here. And by the way, I've seen people do crazy things. And come on, we've all seen this too, right? Don't do it in your own strength. The Apostle Paul said it so beautifully. He said, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. The biggest gun you have is the Holy Spirit. And he lives in you. So if you're here today, and you're like, man, I just being honest, Pastor, I struggle with fear. I struggle with sharing my faith. I struggle with being bold. If that's you, I want to remind you as the worship team comes up, 2 Timothy 1:7. Here's what it says. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Did you hear that? I'm going to read that one more time. For the Spirit God gave me. Would you say me with me? 1, 2, 3. Me. The Spirit God gave me does not make me timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The power that you need to live arrows out is all found in the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? I just believe the Holy Spirit's stirring. I believe that there are people in this room right now that as I'm talking, you're thinking, man, I need Jesus to show up just like he did to Zacchaeus. I have been lonely. I feel lost. I'm not even sure how I made it to church today. But I'm sensing the Holy Spirit tell me that it's time to come back to God. It's time to come home to him. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whether you're online or in the house, would you just raise your hand right where you are? I want to pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just hold your hand up nice and high so I can pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I see that hand. That's awesome. Is there anybody else? Yeah, I see that hand. That's amazing. Come on. That's awesome. Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. You can put your hands down. Let's all repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me clean. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. You are the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's rejoice for those that raised their hands this morning. Isn't that awesome? If you raise your hand, please stop by the hub. We say this, your best yes. Your best yes. And we would love to pray with you and give you your next steps. If I could have everybody stand with me. I want to remind you that living arrows out requires the filling of the Holy Spirit. There was a professor who was teaching a class, and it was a dark lit room, and it was actually lit by an old school oil lamp. Do you remember these old, who has seen one of these old school oil lamps? Raise your hand if you've seen one of those. Does anybody still have one, by the way? Okay, we got, there we go, come on. They're pretty cool. So as he was teaching, the oil in his lamp went out. And obviously, as you know, the kids rejoiced. No, just kidding. But anyways, they were thinking it was over. But the oil ran out. And because the oil went out, the wick and the fire, it went out as well. And so if you've ever been around one of these, what ends up happening is when they go out, they stink. Like they, anybody have this happen? They just smell really bad. Well, as it was going, he started hacking and sneezing and coughing. And it kind of irritated him. And he said to this class of believers, of Christians, he said, this is what a lot of you are like. You stink. And they were like, oh my gosh, you know. And then he said this. He said, and the reason I said that is this. You stink because you're trying to live your life for God without his power. You're trying to share the gospel without the Holy Spirit. And he said, if you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to burn and not run out. So the question is, church, it would be a mistake if I didn't ask you to ask this one simple question. Holy Spirit, how should I respond to this message? Every single one of us, Holy Spirit, what's my response? Not what does this person need, not does what should I, does this person need. What do I need to answer to the Holy Spirit? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you close your eyes and lift your hands just for a moment? And I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, because if it's Jesus' mission, it's my mission. His mission is to seek and to save the lost. In order for me to partner with him, I've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now, what is my response? I want to give you my time right now. Give him your time right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us fresh right now, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. I pray right now for every person in this room that they would not leave without encountering you, Jesus. that they would not leave without saying, Holy Spirit, I need more of you. I want to burn brightly, not in my strength, but in you. Fill me fresh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come have your way.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes, and we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.